Now, I'd like to ask you to brace yourself for an almost semi-political statement from the pulpit. I hope it's okay to confess to you today that I'm a royalist, and I can't necessarily prove to you that hereditary monarchy is the most logical system in the world, but I think that on balance, it has served us well. I reckon that today, probably even the most ardent Republican amongst us would admit that Her Majesty the Queen has an outstanding record of public service. Her 63 years on the throne have been marked by an outstanding devotion to duty. When she could have long ago put her feet up, surrounded by Fortnum and Mason pampers, endlessly eating delicious chocolate, she has faithfully gone on giving herself to public life. In her 1952 Christmas broadcast, as she prepared for the coronation, the 25-year-old Elizabeth asked the people of the Commonwealth to pray for her as she dedicated herself to their service. I think we have to say that those prayers have been abundantly answered. Many of us have never known another monarch, but the dedication to serving her people, which Her Majesty has shown, shouldn't be taken for granted. Jesus said, well, what do the rulers of the Gentiles do, the kings of the nations? They lord it over their people. That's almost natural, Jesus is saying. That's what you'd expect. It's the way of things. Kings rule and people serve. When you stop to think about it, a queen who serves is a revolutionary concept, isn't it? In 1 Samuel chapter 8, our first reading, the people of Israel are warned by the prophet that a king will tax them and take their daughters as his servants and their sons for his army and his workforce. The king will take from them. He will become rich and live it up, and they'll suffer. We know, of course, that all human rulers are imperfect. Some are tyrants and despots. And as in Bible times, leaders quickly turn aside sometimes to dishonest gain, to accepting bribes, and to perverting justice. We could see that all too commonly around the world today, couldn't we? There's always that temptation for rulers to exploit their people. You could say that, in a way, the Bible is a search for the perfect king, and it's only God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ who are that perfect king. Like the people of Israel, in our different ways, we all reject God's good and loving rule over us. We think we know better. We want things our own way, whatever that is. In the case of the people of Israel, they want a human king whom they can see, who will be a visible military leader, who will be like the other nations and go before them in battle. And of course, if you know your Bible and the history of Israel, you'll know that it doesn't entirely work out well for them. When we put our trust in anyone or anything other than God, we're likely to end up in a mess. And so the Bible warns us not to pin our ultimate hope on any human being, not to put our trust in princes. Her Majesty would no doubt be the first to tell us that she is a sinner, just like all of us, that she's far from perfect, but that she has a Saviour, the Lord Jesus. She has been a wonderful servant queen. I want to suggest to you today that that is partly because of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, whom the Queen serves. The Queen has spoken of how much she relies on her Christian faith to guide her, the fact that she draws strength from the message of hope of the Christian Gospel. I hope you've had a chance to read that Servant Queen book. It is worth having a look at, if you haven't. The Queen has said that she's been inspired by the life and message of Jesus, by his unselfish sacrificial life. As the Queen once said, God restored love and service to the centre of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. The Queen says that Jesus is an anchor in her life and a role model for her. As we heard on that video clip, her prayer for us is that we would find room in our lives for the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to consider very briefly with you today Jesus' ultimate example of service. One day, two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, come up to him and say, "Teacher, we want you to give us whatever we ask." We want you to give us whatever we ask. I wonder what Jesus made of that request. You know, do you think, oh yes, I wonder what's coming next? You know, I reckon that any parent would have been wise for that, wouldn't they? The child comes with a sort of blank request text, you know. Daddy, can you do something for me? Well, we'd better see what it is from it, rather depends. So Jesus asks them what they want. James and John say, well, let us sit at your right and the other on your left in your glory. James and John have rightly realised that Jesus is a king. And when Jesus comes into his kingdom, they want to be guaranteed the top job. And so they get their applications in early. Can we be Chancellor and Foreign Secretary in your new administration, Jesus? They want the best seat at the coming heavenly feast. Can we sit at your right and your left in those positions of honour? Now when the other 10 disciples find out about this, we discover that they are indignant. Now I don't imagine this is because they are much more noble than James and John. I think the problem is they're missed that they might have been picked at the post. You know, curses. Why didn't we get our request in early too? Perhaps now we've missed the boat. You know, do we have to be Secretary of State for Fish and Agriculture or something? Well, Jesus calls them all together for a team talk and tells them that they need a total rethink. He gives them a principle which Her Majesty has learned. He says to them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great amongst you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Son of Man is Jesus' favourite title for himself. It comes from the Old Testament, and it refers to a human being coming into the presence of God and being given all power and authority forever. So Jesus says, well, I'm that Son of Man. I'm that long-promised perfect king you've been waiting for. But even I did not come to be served but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Real greatness, Jesus says, comes through service. Jesus rewrites the rules for rulers. Think for a moment of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God in heaven, from all eternity. In a sense, he could have stayed on the throne of the universe without blame. And yet, because of his love for us, and in obedience to his Father, he comes to save us. He's born in a stable and laid in a manger. He begins his life as a refugee, and he lives as a peasant, a skilled artisan in humble circumstances. He has nowhere to lay his head. He is despised and rejected. And in the end, he will give his life as a ransom for many. He will go to the stain and degradation of the cross. He would die in our place so that we might be forgiven. He would pay the price of sin so that we might go free. He dies that we might live. What love, what humility, what service. And that foot washing which we read about is a kind of acted parable of Jesus' humiliation. How he leaves his place in glory, takes off the robe of his glory, humbles himself, becomes like a servant, that he might make his disciples clean. Jesus washes away our sins by his death and resurrection. And only then, when his work is done, does he return to his place, to his Father's glory. In washing his disciples' feet, Jesus took the role of the lowliest servant as an example for us, that we should self-sacrificially serve one another as he served us. Her Majesty the Queen has learnt from that example. And as she follows the example of the Lord Jesus, so too she is an example for us. Like her, may we trust in Jesus as our Saviour, who has died for us that we might live. And may we depend on the Lord Jesus as our example and inspiration and guide, as we seek to give ourselves to the service of God and to one another. In our communion, which we'll share together shortly, we again see an active parable of Jesus' self-giving for us. Bread, which represents his body, broken for us on the cross. Wine, which stands for his blood poured out for our forgiveness. Let us feed on him in our hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Amen.